Good morning from the WVIK newsroom in the Quad Cities. I'm Joseph Leahy. The lights are back on at the Rock Island Arsenal after an emergency power outage yesterday shut down operations for about 3 hours. According to a statement, a substation failed, requiring the island-wide disconnection for diagnosis and repair. Workers at the Joint Manufacturing and Technology Center were authorized early release around 2:30 p.m., coordinated through their supervisors. The loss of power also closed the Child Development Center's Youth Services and the Post Exchange and Commissary. Start times at the Arsenal today were not expected to be affected. An Illinois commission studying reparations has published its first report on the history of racial inequality in the state. Emily Hayes spoke with the project's leader.
At first, when she was asked to get involved, Professor Terri-Ann Williamson said no. She was too busy to lead the state's first comprehensive investigation into racial harm, and she wasn't sure about wading into a project that could turn political. But the University of Illinois Chicago professor grew up in Peoria, and she wanted to make sure the report represented the experiences of all Black Illinoisans.
As somebody who is a Black person from Illinois, this has happened to me my entire life, where you say Illinois and people assume Chicago. It's as if Chicago is the only place.
The report outlines state laws that have harmed and excluded descendants of enslaved people. Williamson says even she learned details like which Illinois fortunes were built on slavery. I'm Emily Hayes.
The Scott County Sheriff's Office is investigating a pedestrian fatality last night just south of Bluegrass. According to a media release, first responders were dispatched to the crash around 6:30 p.m. on 65th Avenue, a two-lane roadway that runs north-south in a residential area. The vehicle involved was a red 2014 Jeep Cherokee. Officials have withheld the names of those involved until families are notified. Linn County supervisors are drafting regulations for new gas-fired power plants. Iowa Public Radio's James Kelly reports Alliant Energy is looking to build one in part to support data center development in Cedar Rapids.
The ordinance in its current form includes a proposed 2.25-mile setback from population centers. A new amendment the board discussed would allow them to reduce that setback by 25% under certain conditions. County Chair Kirsten Running Marquardt says the ordinance balances potential economic growth with community concerns about air quality, noise, and utility cost increases.
This is taking into consideration that these are residential areas of communities that we're looking at, that the setback from. With this amendment, we're also trying to make sure that we're being fair and reasonable should something arise, maybe that we haven't thought of.
A representative from Alliant Energy says the utility is looking to build a facility in unincorporated Linn County to support a large increase in electrical demand. I'm James Kelly, IPR News.
The Galesburg School District Superintendent has announced plans to retire next year. The district's board approved Dr. John Asplund's retirement plans last night. He's led the district since 2017 and will step down at the end of June 2027. Under his leadership, the district completed major building upgrades and maintained strong financial reserves during periods of economic uncertainty. According to a media release, the Board of Education will launch a formal search process to find the district's next leader. Jefferson Elementary School families in Muscatine will soon begin moving into a new housing triplex at the corner of Orange and Fifth Streets. WVIK's Joshua Traugott has details.
The pilot initiative is thanks to a $1.25 million grant from the Roy J. Carver Charitable Trust and various partnerships across the area. Director of Housing Initiatives at the Community Foundation of Greater Muscatine, Ron Monahan, says the project was a community effort.
The community actually starts with the Roy J. Carver Trust, who was the funder. H&I donated the parcel of land to the community foundation. Jefferson School and the city of Muscatine were all involved from very early on in the project.
The triplex holds three family housing units that have three bedrooms, two bathrooms, and a shared outdoor space. The Muscatine Center for Social Action will begin to provide support services next week as families move in. I'm Joshua Traugott, WVIK News.
And this is WVIK News.